You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Y'all, it is here. Look, we got the college football playoff kicking off tonight, man. An exciting time. Look, the NFL playoff picture's around. But before, look, I know I got a little ahead of myself, so let me take a step back. I'm just that excited. But I hope y'all have had a great week up until this point, man. Happy Friday. We got Christmas, man. It's right around the corner. As you can see, I got my Christmas hat on, man. Alabama Christmas hat. So, look, just excited, man. Christmas is my favorite holiday for those of you who don't know. So, really excited about this time. I've been blasting Christmas music, man. I don't know what you guys' favorite Christmas album is, but mine is the Boys to Men Christmas album. So I blast that front to back, man. I know it every single, word for word, literally. So, been listening to that, been listening to a lot of old throwback Christmas songs, especially some R&B Christmas songs from the 90s. So, look, got the whole apartment has been decorated, got the tree decorated nice, got the presents under there, man. So, look, done with my Christmas shopping. So, look, for those of you who, are still, those kind of procrastinators when it comes to Christmas shopping, man, go ahead and make sure you get out there and get to the stores or purchase your stuff online, because if you don't, you'll be stuck in traffic. There'll be wait lines that'll be out the door. And look, that's just not a problem that you want to have. So, I hope everybody is gearing up for the holiday season, man, because we're here. But with that being said, man, got a lot of good stuff to talk about tonight, man. Like I said, the college football playoff kicks off tonight. With my Alabama Crimson Tide, number 9, Alabama going on the road to face number 8, Oklahoma. So definitely want to preview that game and the matchups that we have coming up tomorrow in the first round of the college football playoff. Also want to take a look at the NFL playoff picture, because we have some teams that are fighting for some playoff spots and a lot of playoff implications on the line. So those games also kick off on Saturday and go into Sunday as well. So definitely want to talk about that. Some crazy news that's coming out of Michigan. For those of you who don't know, we'll go ahead and dive and unpack that situation. And look, we'll wrap it up, man, and we'll talk about who I think is going to win in the first round of each of these four college football playoff matchups. So look, with that being said, let's kick into things, man, because we had some news that happened out of Michigan that, shocking to really everybody, right? Sharon Moore was fired and arrested, fired as the Michigan head coach and then later arrested and taken into custody. So there's a lot that's going on with this story, okay? And what I want to do is take some time to unpack this to state the facts of what we know and just give you my thoughts and opinion on, how I feel about the situation. So with that being said, like I said, Sharon Moore, he actually is facing 3 criminal charges. His arraignment happened. His arraignment was on Friday. Last Friday, I should say. And that revealed details that led him up to getting arrested. So he actually was charged with felony third-degree home invasion and 2 misdemeanors. So one of those, stalking in a domestic relationship, and breaking and entering. And he was released from jail after a $25,000 bond. So the situation that led him up to getting fired was that he was having an inappropriate relationship with one of the staff members on the Michigan staff, and which is really, really shocking. He's a guy, he has a wife, he has 3 kids, but he had this inappropriate relationship going on with this staff member, And, you know, apparently Michigan, you know, was told about this, like the athletic director or whatever was this was brought to his attention a while back. And apparently they, quote unquote, did their own investigation, whatever it may be. But, you know, for whatever reason, they didn't come to a conclusion on this. And, you know, that's just like Michigan, right? Like, even going back to the whole situation with the sign stealing stuff and them sending their scout to be on other team sidelines. Like, Michigan has just been showing how fraudulent they have been over the past couple of years. And it's crazy to see a prestigious school and a program like Michigan be involved in so many, you know, so many instances and situations of, you know, cheating and fraud and stuff like that. So, you know, the prosecutors said that, you know, Sharon Moore, he forced entry into the woman's staff member's home or her apartment. And he said, quote unquote, this is verbatim. He said, "I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to make you watch. My blood is on your hands. You ruined my life." So he threatened, and he also apparently threatened her that he was going to harm her as well. So, you know, this, you know, he had an intimate relationship with this woman, and he worked with her a number of years. She ended the relationship, and then, you know, I guess things ended up spiraling out of control. He actually had, there was a flurry of calls and texts that he made to this woman before showing up to her apartment, threatening to harm her and himself. And, you know, obviously, again, this is, you know, some unwanted attention for the Michigan football program. It says, you know, Michigan actually, what they released, they said they will not have to pay more the nearly $12.3 million remaining on his deal because he was fired for calls. So, you know, the lady, the staff member called the police after he came into her apartment. That's how everything, how they ended up being notified and how they ended up showing up to arrest him. And it says that some of the conditions that are part of Moore's $25,000 bond include a GPS tether monitoring, no contact with the woman, and orders to not go to the woman's residence. And there's a probable cause conference that is actually set for January the 22nd. Of 2026. So, yeah, man, this is, you know, my thoughts on this. It's just sad. And, you know, there's another, and I forgot to add this as well. Apparently, you know, he doubled the lady's, salary, that he had the relationship with. They were looking at her salary and it doubled. So you can even see videos of him talking to her on the sidelines, and there I saw pictures of him walking with her on campus. So he was really out in the open with this thing. I mean, they were, I mean, secretive in a way, but you could see now, looking back on it, that there was something going on between them. And that is just, it's utterly ridiculous. I feel bad for his wife. I feel bad for his kids that have to, you know, sit there and be, I don't know, faced with a situation like this, right? There, when every time they turn on the TV, there's something about their dad, or in this case, is the wife, her husband. And I don't know if she, I'm pretty sure she more than likely will file for divorce after this, but this has been going on for years. And the fact that you brought this attention, and you brought this attention on yourself. You brought this upon yourself. It's inexcusable, and I don't want to hear about anybody trying to make him the victim. I've seen, you know, some things out there about people saying that, you know, he you know, I saw some I won't name, but there was one you know, Hall of Fame football player who said, "Look, I've been through this type of fire, and you don't know what it's like to have to deal with stuff like that." And my response to that is this fire, you know, in so-called fire that you're talking about, is self-inflicted. I mean, Sharon Moore brought this upon himself. You know, I'll go ahead and say it was Shannon Sharpe was the person who said it, and Shannon you know, you brought that upon yourself too. These things are self-inflicted, you know. It's not like somebody forced you to do these things. These are choices, right? Cheating on your wife and your family, that's a choice. There's no excuse that you can make for that, you know. And this isn't about beating a man while he's down. This is just stating the facts that it's ridiculous. And, you know, you hate to see stuff like that. And, you know, now, you know, this has led to, you know, up to this point where we're at. And I don't know how much time he'll face, but, you know, we'll know when the new year comes. And, you know, at this point, Michigan, they have had some players enter the portal, and now they have a vacant head coaching position that is now open. And so now they're in search for whoever their next head coach is going to be. And a lot of people, for whatever reason, keep tying Alabama's head coach, Kalen DeBoer, to the Michigan head coaching job, which I think is utterly ridiculous. It doesn't make sense for Kalen to leave Alabama to go to Michigan, who's equally a program that has high standards as well. So, you know, yes, the standard is extremely high at Alabama because, you know, that's what we expect. And any guy who's willing to come after Nick Saban, like you know, and have the guts to do that, you know, they have my respect, and Kalen DeBoer has that. But I just, logically, it just doesn't make sense for you to go from Alabama to Michigan as if the expectation is going to lower because you're at Michigan compared to Alabama. That just wouldn't logically make any sense to me. So everybody out there that thinks he's going, I don't agree with that. He stated it, you know, that he's not. I know sometimes coaches say those things and they still take jobs and, you know, whatever it may be. But I don't think in his second year that, you know, he's going to make a decision to quit like that after having the successful recruiting classes that he's had, after bringing in guys that are coming into 2026. You got to be crazy to think that he's going to leave Alabama to go to Michigan when he's already established himself and starting to come into his own at Alabama and really has gotten to the point where he's become, you know, comfortable, right? You can see it, you know, from year one to now year two, and now with his first college football playoff appearance, and you know that's something to be proud of. So, yeah, I think that we can let those Kalen DeBoer's going to Michigan takes go, but I don't know. Do whatever makes y'all happy, but I just don't see that. It just doesn't make sense to me. Now, let's move on, man. Let's talk about some of the matchups that are happening over tonight, obviously, and this weekend. So starting, just wanted to give you guys a preview. I'm not going to give you my picks, but definitely want to give you a preview of the matchup. So like I said, tonight, number 9, Alabama, going to be going on the road to number 8, Oklahoma. Look, I'm representing. Obviously, look, you know I got my shirt on. Look, got my Alabama hat. You know, it's always Roll Tide. Now, Oklahoma, Alabama actually opened as a 1.5-point favorite when the initial spread opened. And now that has flipped. And now Oklahoma is a 1.5-point favorite. The over under in this matchup is 40.5. And the game is going to kick off at 8 p.m. tonight. Obviously, we know these teams faced off earlier in November. And, you know, Oklahoma was able to go into Alabama and steal a win 23-21, giving Alabama their second loss on the season. So, you know, in that game, the Tide just had some uncharacteristic, like, mistakes. Tide throwing a pick six. Ryan Williams fumbling a punt return. Then there was a sack fumble. So those three turnovers. But even then, you know, looking at the box score, you wouldn't have thought that Alabama would have lost the game. I mean, they out gained the Oklahoma Sooners, even really like doubled the yards that they gained. I think the Tide had like 400 yards of offense compared to like their 200 something. And, you know, it just statistically the box score, you know, you would have thought that Alabama ran away with the game with the exception of those three turnovers. And Oklahoma only scored one touchdown on offense. They had the pick six and they kicked three field goals. and Alabama missed the field goal. They would have won 24-23 had that, you know, field goal been made before halftime. So, you know, looking at this one, obviously, you know, Oklahoma's had Alabama's number for the last, you know, few years or a few times that they played. And so there's an opportunity for Alabama to get some revenge and, you know, advance in the college football playoff to face Indiana in the Rose Bowl. Next up on tomorrow, we have two matchups. We have three matchups, excuse me. We have number 10 Miami Hurricanes going on the road to face the number 7 Texas A&M Aggies. That one is kicking off at 12 noon. Texas A&M is a 3.5-point favorite. The over-under is 47.5. We all know, you know, Miami being the team that the committee decided to switch with Notre Dame, kicking Notre Dame out of the playoffs because of the head-to-head win that Miami had against Notre Dame earlier in the year in week one. You know, a lot of people are pissed off about that. I can't, you know, I'm not going to say that I'm mad at it just because, yeah, Notre Dame may have blown out, you know, a lot of their opponents, but you got to look at who they played, and head-to-head has to matter at some point. And you can't have Miami behind Notre Dame with a similar record when Miami beat Notre Dame. You just can't. I mean, I'm sorry. And for the Notre Dame fans out there, like, you could be pissed, and, you know, rightfully so, I get it, but join a conference. I mean, that's really the only thing I can say. You can't have your basketball team in a conference and your football team not in a conference. That just doesn't make sense. And I think that Notre Dame really has gotten away with what I call highway robbery these past, you know, what really since the playoffs started. And Notre Dame has been, you know, when they've made quite a few playoff appearances, and not having to play a conference, just sitting there idle and still, not having to play an extra game, and just chilling. So, you know, I think that Notre Dame needs to be in a conference, and that's what it is. Now, the environment at Texas A&M, we all know, you know, us SEC fans, that 12th man that they have in there, man, it's insane. So Miami is going to be going into a hostile environment. It's going to be an early kickoff game, so we all know how those noon kickoffs can be weird. So we'll see what happens, but I do like this matchup, and definitely interested to see how Texas A&M is going to be able to respond to, you know, how their season ended, getting blown out by Texas on the road. So with some rest that they've had, and you know, just definitely interested to see how they come out. Next, you got number 11 Tulane going on the road to face number 6 Ole Miss. Obviously, we know the situation that's going on with Ole Miss. Before I kick it to that, that one is kicking off at 3:30. Mississippi is a Ole Miss is a 17.5-point favorite in this one, and like I said, they you know had some situation. You know, the situation with Lane Kiffin leaving and going to LSU. So we'll see if, you know, how they fare with now Pete Golding, the defensive coordinator, now elevated to the head coach of the Ole Miss Rebels. So we'll see how, you know, they come out. Obviously, it was a lot of distraction leading up to their last game because we knew that, you know, Lane Kiffin was making a decision on if he was going to, you know, take the LSU job, if he was going to stay, if he was going to go to Florida. But the Florida, you know, that pulled out. So Florida pulled out of the conversation, and then it left it down to Ole Miss in LSU. And ultimately, Lane Kiffin made the decision to go to LSU. He did try to stay and coach the Ole Miss, you know, team throughout the playoffs, but the athletic director for Ole Miss actually denied him and said that, look, you got to get out of here. You know, if you want to go, you can't be a part of this. So, and, you know, they asked Lane Kiffin about it. He said he respects the decision, but he does wish that he could have finished what, you know, they started and what they built. So that's where we are at this point. And look, we'll see how Ole Miss looks coming out. And last but not least, you have number 12, James Madison, going on the road to Oregon. Number 5, Oregon. That one is at 7:30. The Oregon Ducks are a 20.5-point favorite, and the over-under is 47.5. Look, James Madison, that last group of five team that was able to get in after their championship win for their conference. You know, obviously Oregon, you know, being a team that you know, going to Oregon in Eugene, that's not an easy place to play. James Madison is definitely gonna they're gonna need all the luck that they could get. But moving on, man, definitely, you know, could not go on this show or in this show without acknowledging the GOAT of college football, man. Coach Nick Saban has been officially inducted into the National Football Foundation Hall of Fame. Congratulations to Nick Saban. He finishes with an overall record of 297-71-1 tie. And, you know, he was 206-29 at Alabama, had a .806 win percentage, which is outstanding. 9 college football playoff wins, 120-18 record in the SEC. He has 16 bowl wins. He had 6 national championships with Alabama. Four Heisman Trophy winners from his teams, 656 degrees, which is awesome when you talk about student athletes. So all of his teams, they graduate. He has 60 individual award winners. He's done a lot for the community, so they've obviously had some players very active. He had 133 players drafted in the NFL, and again, man, just knowing what Saban has been able to do with this, with the time that he was a head coach is just outstanding. And you know, I think that you know, when you look at Saban's coaching career, it's one of those things that you have to really appreciate, right? You may not like Alabama, and there's a lot of Alabama haters out there, but you have to appreciate the greatness of Nick Saban. And, you know, I was just proud and had the pleasure of being able to be at Alabama to witness, you know, for 4 years, Coach Saban and, you know, what he meant to and what he still does mean to the football team, right? And even the city of Tuscaloosa. There's not enough words that you could say, but I am glad to see that he is, you know, he's happy. You know, a lot of people, obviously we were shocked when he retired, but look, he's happy doing what he does. Love to see him out up there smiling on the college game day set. And he's still a resource for Kalen DeBoer. Still a mentor, and still there and accessible for the Alabama football players, as well as the staff, and most importantly, head coach Kalen DeBoer. So congrats to again, Coach Saban, the GOAT, on being inducted into the National Football Foundation Hall of Fame. All right, and now let's talk about some playoff clinching scenarios, because there's a handful of teams that can clinch a playoff spot officially starting tomorrow and Saturday. So definitely want to run down what those scenarios look like, and then after that we will get into talking about the breakdown of these matchups, and I'll give you guys my picks for the first round of the college football playoffs. So with that being said, you got the Buffalo Bills sitting at 10-4. So this is how the Bills can clinch their playoff berth. If they win and Houston loses versus the Las Vegas Raiders, or if they win and the Indianapolis Colts lose to the San Francisco 49ers. So those are two ways that the Buffalo Bills can clinch. The Denver Broncos are 12-2. They have officially they actually clinched their playoff spot, but they are actually fighting to clinch the AFC West, so clinch the division. So if they win against the LA Chargers, they win against Jacksonville, and the LA Chargers lose to Dallas, they will officially have clinched the AFC West. So, and they also have an opportunity to clinch the number one seed and home field advantage in the AFC. The way that they're able to do that, again, if they win, if the Chargers lose to Dallas, in addition to that, they need the Patriots to lose to Baltimore, and they also need the Buffalo Bills to lose at Cleveland. So they need a lot. So again, there's 3 weeks left. So, you know, obviously that stuff is going to change. But that's a lot that they need to happen if they want to clinch it this weekend. Then you got the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're sitting at 10-4. They play the Denver Broncos next. So this is how they could actually clinch a playoff berth. They would have to win at Denver. They would need Houston to lose to Vegas, or if they win and the Colts lose to San Francisco. So this is the exact same scenario that the Buffalo Bills have. It's the same scenario that they need when it comes to clinching a playoff berth, which is ironic. So, and then you got the Chargers. Again, they can clinch a playoff berth. They have to win at Dallas. They need Houston to lose to Vegas. They need the Colts to lose to the Niners. The Patriots sitting at 11-3, which is wild. They really should be 12-2. They let the Bills come back and beat them, which is insane after being up 21-0 on last Sunday. But that's neither here nor there. They play the Baltimore Ravens next. The way that they could clinch their playoff berth, they need to win. They need Houston to lose to Vegas. They need the Colts to lose to San Francisco. Man, I swear, it seems like every team in the AFC playoff picture needs the Texans to lose and the Colts to lose. That's crazy how they're tied to literally like four or five teams' playoff berth hopes. And now we're going to move to the NFC. My Chicago Bears, man, 10-4, sitting at number one in the NFC North, are facing off against the Green Bay Packers tomorrow in Soldier Field for a rematch. That game is going to be at 8:20. Excited to tune in for that one. The way that the Bears can officially clinch the playoff spot, they beat the Packers. And if the Lions lose to Pittsburgh, the Chicago Bears will officially clinch a playoff berth. So let's go Bears. And the Packers, they're sitting at 9-4-1. They're second in the NFC North behind my Chicago Bears. They would need to beat the Bears. They would need Detroit to lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers to clinch a playoff berth. Then you have the Philadelphia Eagles. They're sitting at 9-5. They play the Commanders next. They need to win, and they need Dallas to lose to the Chargers, and that will clinch the NFC East for them in a playoff spot. The San Francisco 49ers are sitting at 10-4. They obviously, again, like I stated before, they play the Colts. They would need to win, or they need the Lions to lose to Pittsburgh. So even if they lose, if the Lions lose to Pittsburgh, they will clinch a playoff berth. And then you have finally the Seattle Seahawks. They actually clinched a playoff berth with their win, which was a thriller last night. They had a comeback win, and they beat the Rams in overtime 38-37 to officially clinch their playoff berth. So those are all the playoff clinching scenarios for the AFC as well as the NFC. And we will continue to monitor this because, again, things are going to shift. Things are going to change as teams win or lose. And so definitely going to be here to make sure we monitor that. But I'm definitely excited about my Bears, facing in a rematch against the Packers, man, because this is the biggest game that the Bears have had, really the biggest Bears game since 2018, really, when the Packers came to Soldier Field and the Bears were able to beat them and clinch the division and the playoff berth. So there's a lot on the line, because with the Bears right now sitting at number one in the NFC North, they actually hold the 2 seed in the NFC. So with the opportunity to host playoff games in Chicago, that's huge. You have, obviously there's also an opportunity for them to still get a 1 seed. So, but first they can't get too ahead of themselves. Got to win tomorrow, and then let the rest take care of itself. So, yes, a lot has changed. The Bears, they were number one in the NFC, and then after they lost to the Packers, they went down to 7th, and now they're back up. After winning and the Packers losing, back up to the number one spot in the NFC North and the number 2 seed. So a lot can change, man, in just one day and one weekend. So with that being said, look, let's talk about these college football playoff matchups in round one, man. So again, let's start off with the matchup tonight. Alabama, Oklahoma. Again, Oklahoma is a 1.5-point favorite. I think the matchup tonight, you know, the things that you got to watch out for on, you know, Oklahoma side, obviously you got their defense. Brent Venables has the defenses, you know, playing solidly. They force turnovers. They make the quarterbacks, you know, uncomfortable in the pocket. You saw what they were able to do to Ty Simpson first time around. They are able to disguise some things and bring pressures and get very exotic with their blitz and their scheme. So, you know, their defensive line versus the Alabama's offensive line, that's something that we're going to definitely have to watch. And, you know, they're supposed to be having their best pass rusher, R. Mason Thomas, back. So, you know, we'll see how he looks or if he's ready to go. He wasn't on the injury report, so assuming he's going to be out there, at least, you know, being rotated in. And, you know, obviously got to, you know, look at Ty and how he maneuvers in the pocket. If he's going to, you know, look better than he has the last, you know, few weeks of the season. Because first half of the season, Ty was lights out after that first loss. And then second half of the season, it just didn't look good. It has not looked smooth, and he's looked uncomfortable and a little more you know, has more happy feet and is jumpy in the pocket. And, you know, I know that he was reportedly dealing with, you know, back injury and things like that. So with 2 weeks off and being able to get healthy, you know, definitely interested to see how he comes out tonight. And obviously the Tide are going to have Josh Quavis, their tight end, who's been out for the last three games. He'll be back. Which is huge because he was the most, you know, reliable third down, you know, guy for Ty. And, you know, he helps out from a pass protection standpoint as well. So Josh Quavis being back is huge. Then you get Jam Miller back, who was hurt for the SEC championship game. So another guy who's good in pass protection as well. And, you know, the Tide are definitely going to have to get the run game going. So, but my players, you know, and obviously you look at John Mateer on the other side, you know, he's had that brace, he's had the injury to his hand or his thumb or whatever. It was one of those two. He had the injury. And so definitely going to have to see and watch how he looks tonight. And especially with the way that Oklahoma's offense has struggled, they have not looked, you know, smooth, not really been a threat. It's really the defense that has giving them the chances to be able to put the, you know, score and or either just kick field goals and manage the game. But the player that I'm watching the most tonight is going to be Ryan Williams, man. Ryan Williams is going to have a solid game. Going to need a breakout game from Ryan Williams. We know what Ryan Williams is able to do when he has the ball in his hand, but definitely going to need to focus on bringing it in and you know, making some big, tough catches for Alabama tonight. Now, if Oklahoma wins, it's going to be the first time that a program has beat Alabama twice in the same season since 1893. And Oklahoma has won four of the past five meetings. And, you know, obviously, like I said before, they won the first meeting 23-21. And, you know, they're currently right now, they rank fifth in the nation in rushing yards allowed per game. Alabama has not been able to run the ball effectively, so that's going to be something to watch. And, you know, Oklahoma has the ninth total defense and seventh in points allowed. So the last time Alabama did beat Oklahoma was 45-34 in the playoffs in 2018. So, you know, looking at this matchup, I think that the important thing for and first, let me give my pick. I'm rolling with the Tide. No surprise there. So, look, the thing that Alabama is going to have to do, like I said, protect Ty, give him a clean pocket. I think that they're going to have to establish a run game. I know that, you know, it's crazy to even think that, you know, Alabama team struggles running the ball. But it's all what happens in the trenches. They're going to have to block. We're going to have to stick to running the ball, stop running out of shotgun. Let's get in our formation. Let's pound it and run it that way. And I think that if we're able to get some positive, you know, yards in the run game, we did have some positive run plays against Oklahoma in that first matchup. I think that, you know, Daniel Hill and Jam and and they were a good complement to each other. And then utilizing Richard Young, we got to rotate some, you know, look, keep some legs fresh. But, you know, establish that run game, man, and allow that to open up the pass. I think Alabama definitely looks. So let's start off fast. I don't even think we need to come out just doing run and pass. I think that Alabama, look, they need to be the aggressor in this game. They need to come out. They need to take shots early down the field, try to get Ryan Williams a big catch, Jeremy Bernard, Lottie Brooks, Isaiah Horton. Look, get those guys the ball early. Don't wait and be passive. Take your shots. And, you know, when those shots are there, because there are going to be plays that are there to be made, I think that from that point, you definitely want to move with more of a pace. I think that the key and the thing that used to bother Alabama defenses in the past is, you know, the running quarterbacks too. So Ty's definitely going to have to utilize his legs. And I think that when Bama's getting first downs, run some hurry up offense, right? Don't even allow Oklahoma to substitute. Run some hurry up offense, get them tired and take advantage of that and gas them out. I think that that's a way that Alabama can really take advantage of that secondary of this defense. I see the Tide, you know, doing that. I know this is going to be a tough game. It's on the road. It's in a hostile environment, but I think Alabama's going to come out. I think they're going to be focused. I think that they'll be aggressive. And I think that defense, they've been playing and doing their thing and keeping Alabama in games, even despite how the offense has looked. Didn't look that good, you know, obviously in the SEC championship game, because you can only ask the defense to do so much. I mean, you can't have them out there for 40 plus plays and expect them not to give up, you know, points. And especially when we're giving the other team short fields, offense, defense, special teams is going to be important. I like Alabama. In this second matchup, man, it's hard to beat a team twice. And I think with the rest and being able to refocus after, you know, being, you know, selected to be in the playoff, they'll come out with a different mentality. And next up, man, you got Miami and Texas A&M. Obviously, again, Miami was the team that knocked Notre Dame out of the playoff because they beat them head to head. So the committee gave them the okay. I do, you know, looking at this matchup, I know Miami is a team that's hot. I know that, you know, a lot of people were saying, look, they don't want to, you know, play Miami. But I also think that, you know, going into an environment like Texas A&M is big. I think that, you know, those fans will be rocking. It'll be an early game. I think it'll be a tight game. But I'm going to roll with Texas A&M to win this one in advance in the college football playoff. So I do like the Aggies in that one. Tulane and Ole Miss, I don't really see this one being a challenge at all. I think Ole Miss, look, wins comfortably, at least by 20. I know they're a 17.5-point favorite, but I think they win by at least 21. And then last but not least, man, looking at James Madison in Oregon, this won't be close at all either. James Madison, I'm sorry, you know, it was a good run, but I like Oregon big in this one, so I'm going with the Oregon Ducks. So those are my picks, man, for the first round of the college football playoff. Make sure you guys fill out a bracket. I feel one out on ESPN, man. So excited about, you know, tonight, obviously, and excited about this weekend full of college and NFL, man. So look, I appreciate you guys sticking with me. Everybody be safe. Enjoy, you know, have a great time during this holiday season. Look, we'll be back to do it all over again next week. And look, be blessed. Stay safe, man. And as always, Roll Tide. I'm out.